Well, friends, as many of us will already be celebrating the festive season with friends and relatives and working colleagues, let's look at Jesus as he celebrated at a function in which he himself was the centre figure. I'm talking about the occasion when Levi, or Matthew as we know him, as the writer of the first gospel, he made a meal. He made a special meal. Levi made him, as Jesus, a great feast to his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with him. That's in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 29. While many in the house may not have realised who Jesus was, the meal was probably in celebration of Levi's conversion to Christ as the promised Messiah. There was a mixed multitude of people there, tax collectors and others, we read in verse 30. A large part of Jesus' ministry took place around meals, which he regularly attended. In fact, 18 meals almost defined Jesus, for he said about himself, "The Son of Man, he came eating and drinking." Luke chapter 7, verse 34. In Israel, there were three major feasts every year, and each feast was a celebration of some great event. And Luke records for us in the parable of the prodigal son that it was right to celebrate. It's appropriate to celebrate for certain occasions. So, as good Christians, we ought to see this time of the year as an opportunity to serve the Lord in joyfulness and to testify to his goodness and the joy of salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, here are some principles to remember as we enter the festive season and as we think of the many people that we will meet who don't know the Lord. How should we behave? Well, first, remember, conversion is a process. Conversion usually does not happen through one event alone. It's a culmination of several events, several experiences. Sudden and unexpected conversions are not the norm, and in fact, they're not sudden anyway. For even in St. Paul's conversion on the Damascus Road, it seems, that was a process too. For we read, "It's hard for you, Paul, to kick against the pricks." Although it doesn't seem like it, Paul was kicking against God as he was slaughtering kingdoms, thinking he was doing good. Now, as we are led in introducing people to our faith, don't try and cover all aspects of the faith at one sitting. One point at a time, little by little, here a little, there a little. Over a period of time, the light dawns, as indeed it does in nature every morning. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a farmer planting seed. He clears away the rubble first, then prepares the ground, then sows, waters and cultivates the growth, all before reaping the harvest. So you need to remember, coming to true faith is usually a gradual process. Second thing we should remember is that we need to be good listeners. Good listeners. People get relief when they know someone is listening to them with interest. If necessary, be content not to give your story, for you will have done a very good thing if you listen to someone. Someone who has troubles, someone who has worries, someone who needs help. Listen to them. I read some time ago about a father who had something to say to his son. So he had quite a long late night talk with him. And at the end, the father said to him, "Well, I'm glad we had this chance to talk. I'm now going to pray with you and then we'll go to bed." Within minutes of going to bed, there was a knock on the father's door. "Dad," the young son said, "you said you were glad we had a good talk." I just wanted to point out that I didn't talk at all. I didn't get a chance to say anything. You talked all the time. Now the father was genuinely upset that he missed an opportunity to bond with his son and strengthen their relationship together. We need to remember what the Apostle James said. "Know this, my beloved brothers," he said appealingly, "let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." James 1:19. Third, at all costs, don't judge people. Don't condemn people. We can't afford to. Jesus said, seriously, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven." Luke 6:37. It's a Sermon on the Mount, really. The easiest thing in the world is to find fault. If we do not find fault with what someone said, we will find fault with what they did not say. Jesus could have said so much by way of criticism, couldn't he, to the woman of Samaria? But no, he didn't. He gently and lovingly arranged the conversation in such a way that she ultimately condemned herself. "I have no husband." We must, in love and real affection, avoid condemning people, which they no doubt do to themselves. But rather, you and I, we must have compassion on everyone, even the drunk in the gutter, who still has the image of God on him. That's what makes it so sad. One writer points out, Luke describes the table companions in this chapter, chapter 5 of Luke, as tax collectors and others, verse 29. He's not categorizing them. And note that it's the Pharisees, the self-righteous Pharisees, who call the very same people tax collectors and sinners. He categorizes them, verse 30. Luke gives them some dignity and uses some charity and warmth toward them. When we come across self-ruining sinners, we must never forget, there, but for the grace of God, go I. Fourth thing to remember, seek to be a friend to everyone, without exception. Jesus was known as the friend of publicans and sinners. He's your friend. Be the first to say good morning, the first to congratulate someone, the first to welcome someone in, the first to sympathise with someone, the first to apologise to someone. Excel in being helpful, kind, and forgiving. We must love people for who they are, not for some ulterior motive such as a target for evangelism. For people will soon suss out pretty quickly that you are really only wanting to be a good witness for your cause, rather than caring and loving them. Jesus helped every person who came to him, even asking some of them, "What do you want me to do for you? What would you like me to do for you?" Not lovely. Matthew 20:32. We can't save people. No matter how good we may be at witnessing or evangelizing, and God knows that. And so he's commanded us to have mercy and to show mercy, as Jude tells us at the end of his epistle. Now listen to all the apostles. I've grouped together a collection of commands from different parts and speakers in Scripture, all in the New Testament just now. And listen to this collection. be ready for every good work. Show perfect harmony, perfect courtesy to all people. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honourable. Let them see your good works. Do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Show hospitality to strangers. Keep loving one another. Be careful to devote yourselves to good works. And above all, put on love. These are directions that Christians have been given by our Lord to show our gratitude to him for salvation and all his mercies. And of course, finally, pray. Pray that God would bless your example. Thank you. May God bless our time together.